Book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 32. You want to turn to Isaiah 32. I told my wife this afternoon, I said, I feel like I'm as dry could get. I tried to preach this morning, felt so off step, out of step, whatever it was. But we need to try again. That's what I love about pastoring. I got to try again. Evangelist comes and he doesn't preach good, he don't get to come back. You're stuck with me. So I'm going to try again. You got it? Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 2. Isaiah 32 and verse number 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, covered from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Lord, help me. I'd like to preach just a few minutes. I won't keep you as long as I did this morning, but I'll keep you till I'm done. Say it with me. One man counts. That's what I want to preach on. One man counts. I want you to understand it's a man, singular. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. One man counts. One writer said these beautiful words that are cited in this one scripture are the most glorious sentence in the English literature. They are gracious. They are full of hope. They are full of enthusiasm. They are full of inspiration. The prophet was setting forth in this setting here a great value of an individual, one. Amen. An individual. It was at a time when in Israel that wasn't a very good statement for him to make. It was politically incorrect. For what the king wanted to hear was big battalions. That strength lies in numbers. And we forget sometimes, sitting in a small church like this, we think that we are out of step. But again, the power is not with the big battalions. It doesn't lie in numbers. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Our strength doesn't lie in numbers. The strength of a nation, and this is a political year, so watch me as I get up here and go into a political rally. I want to talk to you political sense, if I can do it. You see, the strength of a nation lies in the character of its men, not in its atomic bombs or nuclear bombs, nor its Navy, nor its Air Force, nor its manpower. For God can, by one act, destroy most of what we depend on. But what we need is to come back to the old past and look at what God is saying. The strength of our nation, the strength of our church, does not lie in the numerical part of it. It lies in the character that's in the heartbeat of this church. Here, for one man, one good man, he can be a hiding place from the wind and a culvert from the tempest. One man, one good man can turn the tide towards victory. It's in this thought in my text that to us today, the reminder is a needful one, for the power still is not in the masses. We're going to mass rallies and we're going to political debates, but that they obscure the fact that men that don't have character won't have character until they get born again. A liar will be a liar until he gets saved. A fornicator will be a fornicator until he gets saved. A cheater will be a cheater until he gets saved. Oh, it should help me preach. Personal influence is still one of the mightiest forces in the world. What you are his witnesses, and you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are important. One man, right here, it may be all the society is doing is trying to change. One man, if the society that we're in keeps going, a good man, it's going to be hard to find. You'll have to come to God's house to find the uncorrupted. You'll have to come to God's house to find the sincere. You'll have to come to God's house to find the truthful. You'll have to come to God's house to find those who are trying to be strong in a corrupted society. The world is going towards, as bless his heart, Brother Leon Buzzard preached, buffaloes run in herds and eagles fly alone. He was talking back then of people who go for what everybody else is doing. Instead of being an individual, they want to blend in. They want to be recognized as part of the crowd. Am I right? If you wear it, I'm going to wear it. If you go there, I'm going to go there. If you think that way, I'm going to think that way. And individuality is still a strength, not a weakness. Under our form of government, we are lucky to find men. For it's the voice that gets heard, not the character. If you can say the right thing, have the right little slogan. People really think you're sincere if you just have the right slogan. They don't take a look at what you are. But what we need is men that count. We need men that are willing to put themselves between hurt and right. It's willing to lay down their life instead of asking people to recognize their life. They're willing to give and not to receive. God, give us men that count. And it doesn't take a numerical bunch. It takes one good man. One good man. History bears no greater witness than that, because individually, men have counted in every type of effort. When you look at America, we had our Washington. Not Washingtons, Washington. One man who led us through a horrible war to our independence. Then we have Lincoln, who stood alone in his opinion. Whether a man was black or white, he had the right to be free. Then you had Churchill in England that said, we will never quit. We will fight, and we will fight. And out of his courage, of those words, and his stamina, and his standing up, the whole nation turned from expecting defeat to looking for victory. Oh, what one man can do. Men that count. We need them. When we find those men of character, they influence others. When we find those men of character, their shadow becomes a shelter. Amen. And weaker men have grown bold. It's in this that we see that the requirement is not in a committee nor a platform, but there is only one requirement for revival. One that makes it possible. One requirement that gives it the ability to come to pass. And one man can do it. One man can break through. Go back to the revival and hear again the words of our evangelist. Go through the door. Get up higher. And we didn't talk about it ever being for the church. It was always for that individual. Because one man still counts. And one man can bring revival to his home. And one man can bring revival to his church. And if God gets a hold of one good man, he can still turn men back to God in a great revival. Of course, the greatest individual that we have for that example is Jesus Christ. Whoever you're referring to, Isaiah, Jesus Christ fits the bill. Whoever you were looking for, Isaiah, Jesus is that man. It is Christ. He perfectly fulfills that prophecy. One man, a man, one man. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us. It was referring to men. All like sheep going astray. And in the council of heaven, when God looked, he didn't look for a committee. He didn't look for a board. He didn't look for a group. He sought out one man and sent him to earth. That one man was Jesus Christ. He came as Savior, and he did save. Could God have done more to glorify individuality? The answer to that is no. He's still looking for the solitary. One man in a closet on his knees will bring down the power of God. One man dedicated to God can bring a home back out of tragedy to the soundness of love. One man. Looking at the face of God, one man speaking in the ear of God, one man standing in the gap for God can turn the tide and bring revival. You say, Brother Benny, how old do you have to be? I don't know. Try Samuel. It was when Samuel came into Eli's house that God came back to Eli's house. It was in Samuel slept in Eli's bed that Eli heard that the voice of God had spoken his home. One man. If there ever was a time when you should look at yourself and say, can I ever be? Will I ever be the influence that I need to be? Unless I start immediately. You can't wait any longer. You can't do it any later. You must move today. You must understand that there are people there that are waiting on you. They're waiting for the rock they can hide behind. They're waiting for the culvert that they could get into. They're waiting, looking for the man who can get up and speak and it be true in its ring. Pure silver has a ring to it. You can drop it on marble, it has a ring. You can put a mixture of something that looks like silver and drop it, it doesn't have the same ring. The authenticity is in the mixture. And that good man has a ring all his own. He has that ring when he talks. I speak true. One man said, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. That's individual. You can find a liar almost on every street corner, but a truthful man is a man of character. The Bible says, speak truth to all men in love. All men. Now you're not helping me preach. For you and me, they mean something more. We have sports stars that are making millions of dollars for every time they dribble a basketball. Yeah. It's almost $100 a dribble, yeah, or more, $1,000 a dribble, maybe $10,000 a dribble. They catch a pass, they hit a ball. It's thousands of dollars that people pay them just to watch them play. Now we got a crisis. They're getting shot. They're proving that they're wife beaters. Our heroes have got clay feet. Our politicians have been found out to be cheaters. Our pastors have been found out to be unsaved. That doesn't mean everybody is, but it means that we're in the search for one man. One good man. If God ever blesses us here at Dryden Road, it will be with somebody of character. Here, Isaiah, stand aside. We know that Jesus is the one who fulfills that scripture. But Jesus takes the scripture and he takes it a step higher. He always does. He always takes it up another notch. He never lets it down. He always takes it up a notch. And this is what he's saying. Plainly to us, he declares, as my Father sent me, even so, send I you. If Jesus was a rock in a weary land, that one good man will find himself being a rock in a weary land. If Jesus was a culvert in the time of storm, that good man's going to find himself being a culvert in the time of a storm. If Jesus was a river in a dry, barren land, then you, my friend, must come back to the Holy Ghost, who will spring up on you like rivers of living water. We need men. Oh, this is the contribution that only a church can make. For it's here in church we can take the unsettled. The menace of our present condition is unsettled. I've never seen a time when you do not appreciate what God can do for men and women. It can furnish, this church can furnish, and the Holy Ghost has set us here and used us for this very fact. He wants to take somebody in this church and he wants to use them in a special way. But he cannot do that if you are unsettled, For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. One day I want to be a man of God. The next day I want to be a rich man. One day I want to be a man of God. The next day I want to be, what do I want to be? I'm not for sure. Let me think it over. Then I go back to church and I hear a message and I want to be a man of God. Then I turn on the old television and watch a basketball player and I want to get out my tennis shoes and go out to the court, see if I can slam dunk. How long halts ye between two opinions? In the man of crisis, when that hour had come, God found one man, Elijah. Elijah walked boldly into the king and said, it'll not rain till I call for it. Walked boldly out. Followed the directions of God. Stayed in a brook. Lived in a cave. Fed by the ravens. Then went to a widow's house. You would have thought that God would have treated him better. He thought he was the only man capable. Until God told him one day, I took a head count the other day. It's a remnant, but I've got 7,000 that are just as straight as you are. If you fail me, I've still got 7,000 choices. No, I'm not talking about just one man in this church. I'm talking about many men in this church that can do something for God. I can furnish men and women to a church. God can do it. This modern world is appalling in its godliness. How can we ever get back to God? How can we ever get back to God? By one man here and there getting God back to God himself. Back to God himself. Not waiting till everybody does it. Back to God himself. And when I use the word man, I'm just not talking about the male species. I'm talking about you too, sister. I've never been so stirred in all my life. We live in that time when they say there's no holiness churches. And I say, I beg your pardon. Not everybody that comes to a holiness church is holy. Not everybody that's called Israel is Israel. Not everybody that says they're a Jew is a Jew. And not everybody that says Lord is going to go to heaven. But in the midst of this, there are still some men of character. There is still holiness in the churches. There is still power in the church. There is still the movement of God in the church. There is still the hand of God to be seen in the church. There are still miracles to be wrought in the church. There are still revivals to be had in the church. And the church is a place where God will do it. We need men. Their driving power is a passion. It's what separates the boys from the men is the driving passion that says to God, I gotta have you ere I die. Like Jacob of old when he put away everybody, divided part of his family, sent him this way, divided part of his family, sent him that way, and there he was all alone. One man. It will either stop with Jacob or it will go on with Jacob. And Jacob meets Esau after he has met his own God. And the thing that thrills me about that great intercession of Jacob is that we only read about the wrestling till you get over into the Old Testament prophets and they'll tell you how he overcame. He cried. He wept. He held on. He said, I won't let you go. We need men that will come to God with a passion. We need men that'll come to God with a hold that says, I won't learn you. I won't turn you loose. I won't stay this way. We want to hear God say, no more, Jacob. That's enough of that. No more, Jacob. Your name is Israel. I'm moving you up. I'm putting you up here where you got power with me. You've hooked and you've crooked and got your way. But no more of that hooking and crooking. You got to be a man. Ever was a time that a woman needs a man that'll protect her. I know what you're saying. I got mine by the door. They'll have to get by my Smith & Wesson before they get her. I can tell you something more potent than a Smith & Wesson. A 38, 357, 44 Magnum, 41 Magnum, a 50. If you want to get an elephant gun, they got them. There's a man who knows his God. And that man that knows his God will have angels stationed at his door. That man that knows God, God will see to it that the devil don't torment you. That man that knows God will have his house in peace. He will have his house whole. He will have his house protected. It won't be by an alarm. It'll be by the power of God. For God will keep that which is committed to him. And a man that commits his family at an altar with all of his heart will find a God that will protect it with all of his might. To deny our individuality is to fail God. I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to preach like anybody else. I wouldn't wish that on you at all. I don't want to be like anybody else. I want to be me. Because I can trace me back to my first encounter with God at 4 years old. Why would I want to be somebody else? God has took care of me all the days of my life. I've said to God, who was my mother? Who was my father? Nobody's. I do not have a preaching pedigree. I came up like a root out of dry ground. There was no roots running to anyone else. I came up because God would not give up on me. And now I hope not to give up on God. So I'm talking to you, sir. Don't give me this excuse that you don't have that kind of background. God don't need you with a background. God needs you with a passion. God don't need you with a pedigree. God needs you with a passion. God doesn't need you with a hip pocket bulging. God needs you with a passion. Amen. I said amen. Here it is in just a few words. Look at Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. He wrote it about one man who broke away trying to get to the wicket gate. He couldn't just stand by itself. So he wrote another one. And here come a woman after that man going through the same progress trying to get to the wicket gate. It shows us that there is influence. There is a shadow you can cast. There's a power that you can exert. There is a relationship that you can groom. You can be God's man of your home. And have God to say to you, like he said to those angels, I'm not doing anything until I talk to Abraham. Let's go to Abraham's house, and I will talk to Abraham. And after I talk to Abraham, I will talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities. But not until I talk to Abraham. Abraham is my friend. Greatest title's ever been handed to a man is that he is a man of God. Well, it don't necessarily have to mean you're a preacher. It just means that you're sold out. Doesn't mean that you have to be eloquent. Just means you're sold out. God is looking for sold out men. We are lacking revival because we're lacking men. You're not helping me. There is a hiding place, a shelter. You're it. There's a place where the weary can find rest. You're it. I've told you before about our neighbor. What was her name? Tawanda or something? Ooh, she was something else. One more wild woman. She was wild. Dressed wild. Talked wild. She was wild. We prayed for her. Kind to her. Kind to her children. My wife can tell you this as a witness. She came to our house one day and sat there and cried. And she said, I like it here. She said, I feel peace when I come here. Shelter. From the time of storm. Oh, you're not hearing me, are you? There's some people who can walk into a room and change the whole atmosphere of it. If they're devilish, you can feel it. It'll make you uneasy. It'll make you nervous. It'll almost make you sick. And then there's people who can walk in and everybody's head turns and says, wow, he's got something. She's got something. How many's ever been there? Come on, raise your hand real high if you've ever been there. What would it happen to this church if we could have a house full of strong men? What would happen to this church if we could have a bunch of people who are so at peace with God that it can't be broken? What would happen to this church if we could love one another because we love Him? When a demon-possessed person would walk in, they'd be delivered. When the lame would limp in, they'd be healed. When the hungry would come in, they'd be fed. It all depends upon how we spend the remainder of our time. I want to be a helper for Christ's sake. I want to be a culvert in the tempest of life. It doesn't demand great strength. It's just great strength of character. You don't have to be Atlas. You just have to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's not amen, that's one man. Amen. Any man may be. Everyone has the privilege of being Christ's man. One man counts. One man really counts. It took one man to tame Legion. When a house could not do it, when a village could not do it, when chains could not do it, one man could, and he did it without laying hands on him. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
One man. One man. We was at Barberville. There's a little revival going on out of Barberville. Me and my wife, young. Oh, we were young. We were young. So inexperienced. Just green as a gourd. Our first church, which was under 40, sent us down to Barberville and said, go look and see what they're doing at that orphanage. We'll pave your gas down there. I said, sure, we'll go look it over. We went down there and looked it over and asked, because it was in our heart to go to church somewhere. Is there a revival? And they sent us to a revival. And I couldn't take you back to where it was, but I could tell you who was holding it. Arvis Swofford. You ever hear of him? Some folks have. And Brother Smith. Both of them were preaching nightly. And they were there, and this service started going on, and just all of a sudden this woman got up, just looked like she was going to excuse herself and go to the bathroom. And the preacher jumped up over here and said, stop her. Stop her. If she goes out, she's damned. Her husband run and grabbed her. Took her down the side, out in the back. Preachers went and prayed for her, and I stayed there with my wife, and we stayed there and prayed. They came and said, Brother Southern, we need you to come and pray for this woman. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. I went and prayed for that woman. Never forget that. I told her, I said, look at me. She looked at me. She was sitting in a chair. She raised her head and looked at me. And I said, you're coming out because you're going to go to hell. A gravelly voice come out of that woman and said, I know I'm going. I'm taking her with me. I said, no, you are not. Come out of her. I remember that woman turning on that chair, kneeling down, started weeping. She got up. She was free of that devil. She said, my plans, this is why the Holy Ghost stopped her. Her plans was to take a knife and wait on her husband to walk through the door of the bedroom and kill him. That's what the devil had put in her heart. That's why the Holy Ghost jumped up and said, stop her.
Stop her.
One man stood between. One man stood between. One man. One man obedient to the Holy Ghost turned a situation around. Kept a home together. One man stopped a murder. One man delivered a soul. One man. We need men that counts. Who knows what will lie in your future if God could get you? Who knows what power could come out of your home if God could get you? Who knows what God would do with your children if God could get you, sir? Who knows the power that would sweep through your home? Sister Millie sits there, the only one in her family for years. Bill has conformed, but she still has more lost than she does saved. Sister Hasty sits there. Children that are lost. How do you turn a home around? How do you set children free? You got to have God. And you got to be God's man, God's woman. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm preaching to you, Dryden. Yes, I want you to listen to me, Dryden. Because what we have been given as an assignment is deliverance. The Holy Ghost has assigned us and given us assignment of deliverance. If we do not become His instruments, there will be no deliverance. He will take this gift, He will take this work, and He will take it down the road. He'll find somebody who will take Him serious. Somebody that will say, I won't want to miss this. I want to be a part of this. I want you to use me. I want my life to bring glory to you. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'll preach this and probably won't have any takers. I'll preach this and you'll grade it. What do you call it? Classics? Or I don't know what the opposite side of a classic is. A flop. It'll either be a classic or a flop. And you will sit there and say, man, you preach good. But you know how I judge preaching? Changing somebody. To me, every one of them is a flop till I change somebody. Till I get a hold of you and turn you inside out and get you to where you're changed. I have not preached. I have entertained you. I'm no better than a television preacher. I'm just entertaining you. And you're going to be entertained. And if I get boring to you, you pull out your cell phone and start playing. Or you reach over and start talking to your neighbor. You don't want to be changed. You don't want the world to change. You don't want this church to change, because for it to change, you've got to change. And if you're going to change, then that means revival. And if revival comes, it means God's got to stir us up. We've got to come to the place where we no longer can come and just sit. We had a revival that brought Brother Scott out of the back to the front. Now we got to have a revival that brings him out of the front back to the altar where he can pray and deliver somebody. I know he's got the Holy Ghost. I was there when it happened. I know he's got the power of God in his life. I know it. I've seen it in his family. His girls are now with him. They're talking God. They're living God. And that only came because the Holy Ghost came into Gary Scott. Right, right. And you've got to do something. You've got to change. If you want God to do miracles, God's got to just do it in you. You've got to change. That's going to take a miracle. That's going to take a miracle that turns you every way but loose. You've got to learn to get a prayer habit. You've got to learn to get a love for the Word of God. You've got to learn to get a relationship with the Holy Ghost. You've got to get in that ears that it's anointed. And you've got to have a heart that's sensitive. And you've got to have a walk that's soft. If you want these things, it's going to take you breaking down and saying to God, change me. I can get you fired up for a little while, but I can't keep you fired up. I can get you started for a little while, but I can't keep you going. That's because I'm not the Holy Ghost and I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ, because I can't change your heart. But if you get a hold of Him, He can change your heart. I said He can change your heart. He can change you and He can make something out of you. We need men that count. We need women that count. Let's see. You got a girl and what, four boys? Five? That's a pretty good sized church. Just think what you, Berkeley, could do if you made missionaries out of them all. Or if you just got them sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Would they come knocking at your bedroom door and say, Mom, what's this voice I hear? Mom, what's this thing I feel? Mom, how do I handle this? Men to count. Can God count on you? Dad, can God count on you? Husband, can your family count on you in a crisis? Can he do it? Can God have you? Stand with me. I don't know, for 3 years at least, he'd been dealing with us about coming into this partnership with him. I'll bring him in, then I'll work with you to help them. I'll bring him in. My son and his precious wife said that it seemed like every time we come home, or somebody said that, seems like every time we come home, there's a change in your church. New people. That's not us. That's God being faithful. Yes. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. God bless Anthony. God bless Tim. I know what you're thinking, church. You think, well, that's the young people. They're always going to do that. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But wouldn't it have been better off if Dad would have set the example and Mom would have set the example instead of the children setting the example?
Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work there. can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be.